What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. We hope that you guys are staying safe and doing well. Just wanted to give you a heads up that we recorded this episode with Freddie Prinze Jr. about a month ago. So it was before we were practicing all the social distancing. We just didn't want you guys to worry. We are still recording new episodes remotely going forward, but this one was recorded a little while back. Just wanted to give a heads up, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Stay safe, guys.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we're sad to not have Taylor Tomlinson with us today, but we are pretty fucking stoked to have on an incredible guest that I think all our listeners are also going to be pretty excited for.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys know from the title. Freddie Prinze Jr.,
Freddie Prinze Jr. What the fuck? Seriously? I mean, I couldn't, when I saw him in person, I was like, this feels like a weird dream. I mean, this feels like a crazy.
Like a hologram? Did you like have to touch him and be like,
yeah,
are
I was
you?
Like, I'm definitely not in my body right now. I even wore my little 90s ponytail, just like a little throwback.
I love it. I know. It made me laugh. And you'll hear in the very beginning of the interview, him talking about Delaney hugging him. And it's exactly what I would have expected of you.
This is what happens when you're not supervising me around our guests.
Oh, so good. We're going to get into that interview in just a second. But we have an iTunes review of the episode we wanted to share with you guys.
Oh, yes, we do. And the name of this review is, it's a lady emoji and then a dog emoji. That's the name of the person.
Right up your alley.
Very nice, very creative. And it says, my therapist recommended this podcast to me and it is great and I'm so glad I found it. Oh, thank you so much. That's so cool.
Thank you for leaving that review.
Yeah.
And I love that people's therapists are listening.
Oh my God, shout out to all the therapists that are recommending Self-Helpless. That is really cool. That's like such a high compliment. That's really lovely.
Especially because we're always like, hey, we're not therapists. We're not professionals. We're just out here trying our best and giving you the information we have. So, I mean, it's very
flattering. Maybe because we're always advocating therapy too. It's like, look, everybody should be in it. Go get one, you know, and then we'll try to help supplement the rest.
Exactly. So it's very, very nice.
Yes. And then I am in the process of hiring another cartoonist for Dicks by Delaney. And so if you are, you know, interested in applying for this position, it is a remote position, flexible hours, you can work from home, you can send 3 samples of your work along with a resume to dicksbydelaney@gmail.com. dicksbydelaney.com. And then you can go on Instagram, follow us at dicksbydelaney if you're curious as to like what kind of cartoon work we are looking for. And I already have a lovely cartoonist who lives in the Illinois area. So, and I'm in, you know, the Los Angeles area. So you could really, you could be doing this from anywhere. It's very cool. So dicksbydelaney.com if you want to find out some more information about what even is Dicks by Delaney. And yeah, I just loved this episode with Freddie talking about burnout and marriage and like the way that he is able to like balance himself in this crazy industry.
Yeah.
So I think you guys are really going to love this episode.
Yeah.
Without further ado, check it out.
Here it is, guys. Have a good one. We're so excited today to be joined by Freddie French Jr.
What is happening? I cannot believe this is happening.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to see your reaction meeting him.
I basically said, I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. Hello, I'm Delaney.
She hugged me for way longer than was necessary. Like when you first meet somebody, it's usually like, oh, hey, right on. Like that's like the new handshake.
I took a sniff, you know, and I really took it in.
I'm more Japanese now, like, especially with like everyone being afraid of being sick. I'm like, I'm bringing back the bow. Like Japan's got the bow. I've always, when every kid in the 90s wanted to be black, I wanted to be Asian. And so I'm bringing back the bow and I think it's going to work. I was at an XFL game last night. So I guess I'm not really that scared of the virus. Yeah. But it was my birthday. And
Happy late birthday. Thank you.
And everyone who came was like, hey, man, can I take a picture? And they put their hand. I was like, hey, man, let's bow. And everyone was cool with it. Everybody, I was like, dude, this is so Asian right now. It's my 90s fantasy come to life.
So love it. Respectful.
Yeah. I'm bowing to everyone. The handshake, the handshake existed to when diplomats would meet to make sure the person they were meeting wasn't armed. Like it was literally, that's the history of the handshake.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you would check their wrist, and if there was a gun there, you're like, I don't think we're going to be discussing peace.
Probably too late at that point.
We don't need that now. The bow is money, man. The bow is where it's at.
Well, I definitely didn't bow. I hugged him. I hugged him real hard and took a little clipping of his jacket for a souvenir.
Yes, it's like a hole in it.
Yeah, you know, haircut? Yeah.
I told Cam, my fiance, big fan of Freddy's, and he was like, duh. And he texted me, go Chatham A's.
No, tell her how you pronounce
okay,
Chatham.
He texted me, go Chatham A's, and I'm like, what does Chatham A's mean? And then I told him that Cam says, go Chatham A's. He's like, oh, you girled that so hard.
I said,
hard.
You girled baseball so bad right now. I was like, my heart kind of cracked.
Oh, Delaney.
But it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
All
right. Chatham from Summer Catch. Yeah. Yes. One of Cam's favorite movies, Summer Catch.
Yeah, one of the rare guys that would claim that as a favorite.
Oh, he loves it. Well, he's a big,
I was surprised when I posted pictures of us from Wrists of Fury when you did my foosball show that you loved so much. One of the highlights of your life. I had so many straight dudes commenting like, yeah, man, I mean, I'm completely straight, but I would totally fuck Freddie Prinze Jr.
That's unnecessary, fellas. I'd rather you go back to hating me.
What's the balance? Do you feel like you get a lot of hate from dudes?
I don't know.
For being you? Or do you feel like you get a lot of dudes that are like, hey, man, just so you know, I'd switch teams you?
I think it depends on how old they are, right? Like, it's a generational thing. So, like, guys my age hate me. Right? Because their wives liked me back in the day.
Gotcha.
So if they're insecure, not insecure, then it's we all get along.
Yeah.
And then the generation before that has like forgotten me. And then the generation before that loves me because of Scooby-Doo.
Oh. And, wait, you're saying that you think our generation's forgotten you?
No, guys.
Oh, guys. Okay,
guys.
I got
you. They're like, who's that? Like, that's like their go-to, right? And then the generation behind that, when they find out that I voice like cartoons that they dug, then they're like, oh my gosh, are you really a Jedi? And then you'll be like, well, yeah, of course.
Your career has such a wide range of all these generations.
On how old you are. It just depends on how old you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
So before we started the show, we talked about maybe a favorite or least favorite quote, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. So my godfather is Bob Wall, and Bob was the guy who was in all the Bruce Lee movies back in the day. He was the guy Bruce and him found each other. They were both badass martial artists, and they kind of trained one another. And when my dad died, I didn't have any male influence, and so my mom sort of handed me off to – this is like the illest circle of dudes ever, but it was Bob Wall, Gene LaBelle, Chuck Norris and Pat Johnson. Okay? And they all lived in Tarzana, California. Yeah. And they would just pass me around from like teacher to teacher to like teach me how to be a man, right?
Yeah.
So Bob, who, you know, he still cry about Bruce Lee to this day. That's how close they were. Mm. He made me read his book. He really made me study his philosophies as a kid.
Yeah.
And everyone knows like the running water never grows stale, which is like one of my favorites to live by. Yeah. But he also had another one, and I'll mess up the quote. My godfather's going to beat my ass. he's an old man now, but he can still hit.
Still throw down.
He's a tough guy. And he basically said, you know, there's this balance between, or this delicate balance between nature and balance, right? And you don't want to go too much in either direction. He said, if we go one way, which would be the way of science, then we become, you know, almost a mechanical man. He's like more machine than man. If we go the other way, it would be very unscientific. And so it's not about being natural or unnatural. It's about unnatural naturalness or natural unnaturalness. And that's the direct quote, that last part.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When I was 12, that didn't mean shit.
Yeah.
But when I started having success in this business and relied on outside things to sort of bring me that balance, which I needed to correct from time to time, that's when it started to make sense. When I did too much work trying to make too many movies back to back to back to back, and I kind of lost myself. And then when I burnt out because of that and quit, and went the exact opposite direction and then went too far that way, and I wasn't really following any of the teachings that these great men had given me. And it wasn't until, and I think everyone, or at least every guy I know that y'all ever talked to will tell you the same thing. I didn't start figuring this out until I was about 30.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, that's what he meant. Oh, that's what mom meant. Oh, that's what, you know what I mean? And then everything started to click.
Yeah.
And that's when my life just got easy. I mean, easy. That's when everything, all these like Eastern philosophies that I was raised to believe in, which I just did because the result was getting hit, but I never had an understanding or an appreciation of it. It was the 80s, and if you messed up, you got whacked. Like now you go to jail for that, right? They take your kids away. But back then, you know, this is how it went. And then once that happened, like I said, everything started to click. My sitcom that I did got canceled, and it really like messed me up because we were their highest rated comedy.
Yeah.
We were doing everything right, and they wanted me to fire two characters, and I just wasn't going to do that. And I was like, well, they're bluffing, because they were like, you get rid of them or you guys are gone. I was like, well, they're not doing that. We're their number one comedy. Yeah. And they were like, no, F you, you're gone.
Whoa.
And it just like rug got pulled out from under me. My ego got stripped. I mean, all the good and bad parts of it just ripped out from under me. And I was sitting in my office, and Sarah's like, are you going to be okay? I was like, well, I have to be, but I don't know how yet.
Yeah.
And I was lost for about a year. I joined the WWE and started writing for professional wrestlers.
What?
Because I grew up loving wrestling.
Yeah.
I lived in the same building as Shane, Vince's son, and they asked me to take a meeting with Vince on some randomness at a pay-per-view that I went to. And they were like, we really like your ideas, and you'd say no, and other people just tell Vince yes. Because you won't care, and I don't care about anything. That's what my wife always says. She's like, you don't care about anything. I was like, I care about y'all. And she's like, you don't care what people say. I was like, I don't know. That's how I was raised.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go in and I meet with Vince, and I took that. We can get into that if you want. But the quick of it was, I went on this like year-long journey where I had no idea who I was. I knew I wanted to be retired. I knew I couldn't deal with what I felt the business had become, and I needed, I guess, what was a break, but I called it retirement. And so this was a good way, because you're on the road every week. I was on the jet with Vince, the black WWF jet, WWE jet, every single week, flying to every city, working with the talent that he felt had a shot, and he just wanted to like brush up their acting and things like that. But I still wasn't happy. I wasn't satisfied. Didn't know what it was. And then one of the wrestlers there, her name was Eve Torres, and she married this jiu-jitsu dude, Henner Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, Bob Wall, my godfather, and all those, they used to always train jujitsu, and they used to always try to make me. And I had gotten so far away from martial arts, which was my balance. That was my middle from between work that I had to do and dreams, right? Like, yeah, that was the middle where I never thought about either one. Because if you do, you get punched in the face. You're focusing on not, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can't think about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the balance. That's a long-winded version of what I kind of needed to find myself again. And now I'm back. I'm doing a new show this summer and have all my other stuff going. And I don't feel too overwhelmed by it. Yeah. Although I'm already screwing up dates and stuff like that. But I was never good at that.
Right.
Not good at scheduling. The time I give you, I can be very focused.
Right.
But organizing that time, I'm the worst. Yeah. The worst.
Can you get into the burnout that you experienced when you were taking all those movies? And like, what did that feel like? What was going on for you?
You know, it was real hard. I didn't even want to act when I was a kid.
Mm.
And my family put a lot of pressure on me that, you know, I wish they wouldn't have, but now I'm glad they did. I'm happy for the life that I
so
had.
So are we. Insert, thank you. Insert creepy comment of every girl from the 90s. Sorry. Okay.
So, you know, I felt a lot of pressure to kind of pick up where my father left off.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew who I was, which is the only reason, and I'm certain of this, the only reason I'd freaking kill myself, just like my old man, because he didn't know who he was. And this business defined him and called him Chico, which means boy. And he hated that. And Richard Pryor used to just get on him. Oh, you gonna let them call you boy? You gonna let them call you boy? And it would just, it would eat him up. And he was dating Pam Grier then. And she was telling me the story. And she was like, he would just sit up. It'd be 2-3 in the morning. He'd wake up. And he'd be like, I can't believe they call me boy. And he would just be so mad about it, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to kind of like pick up the pieces, so to speak. But I did know who I was, and I went on this run with Miramax where they just kept throwing it at me and throwing it at me.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the movies I was even making by the fourth one. Like, I've only seen 3 of the movies I've ever done, ever. Like, I've just
What haven't you seen?
Wow.
All of them. Like, the only ones I've seen are The House of Yes, which was this little independent movie I did with Parker Posey, and I fell in love with her, and that's what made me fall in love with acting. If I hadn't have done that movie, I probably would have quit way before I ever made it. But I just saw what it did for her, and I was like, I want to feel like that just once doing this. Mm. It took me 15 years to get that feeling. So the burnout came right at the end of Miramax, and I had done She's All That. I had done a movie called... It was with Julia Stiles.
Down to You.
There you go. Oh,
yeah. Why do I know your movies? You don't. Well,
I didn't see it. You did.
Have you not seen that movie?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, wow.
Well, I read the script. I know how it ends.
Right.
They worked it out.
That's so they worked crazy. It out. That's so weird to
pretty,
me that you haven't seen that movie.
Pretty people with problems. It usually goes like that. In about 98 minutes.
Wow.
Now it's about 112. But so I did that one. And the director and I were not on the same page. Miramax demanded that my acting coach come out and work with the cast. And the director thought that I pulled that on him.
Oh.
And this was only like my first movie where it was really me, right? And so I was not looking forward to doing the next job. And the next job was in Vancouver. And we were on nights. And I rapped at 5 a.m. on Down to You and flew to Vancouver and landed at like whatever time, 10 a.m., 9 a.m., drove to set and started shooting with no rehearsals on this movie with all these like supermodels.
Holy shit.
Head over heels. Oh my God.
This is what it's going to be. This is going to be an hour.
It's not my fault you don't know your own movies.
Well, I didn't see that one. It might have been something else on the screen.
Another one of my favorites.
It might have been named something else. So I went out there and started shooting right away, and it was with Mark Waters, who directed The House of Yes, which I saw deal with it.
Boom.
and I was not ready for that movie. I wasn't ready for the role. I hadn't had time to prepare.
You didn't even sleep between you like rapping
and
got on a plane.
But I didn't even like,
I just wasn't ready. Some of it's on me. Some of it's on the schedule. Yeah. I just wasn't in the space. My girlfriend and I were in the middle of like our final breakup. And so it was just really wrecking me.
Yeah.
And she cheated on me and I still wasn't able to like just get rid of her. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I was mad at myself for that. And I just wasn't, I didn't do a good job. And I knew it. Like every day I'd get home from work and I'm like, I'm not doing a good job. I'm not doing a good job. And then the director from She's All That called in the middle of the movie. And he's like, hey, I want you to come do this movie with me. And it's going to be great. We're going to shoot in San Francisco. And I really want to work with you again. His name's Rob Iscove. And I loved Rob. And he could have said it was anything. And I would have been like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I said, yes. When does it start? And it started the day after this one wrapped.
Oh, my God.
And so I got there.
Oh, my God.
I got to San Francisco. I don't remember the name of this one.
She's all that.
Okay. I know. Okay. That one I know.
He had already done that one.
Okay. You'd already done that.
This was one in San Francisco. God. And then they hired this great British actress. I don't want to say her name because they fired her. But she was doing great, but they fired her on some bullshit.
Okay.
Not because of talent. Like, for real, on some bullshit.
Yeah.
And they recast her on the day we're supposed to start principal photography with Claire Forlani. So now she was coming into the situation I went into on my last movie.
Oh.
So we didn't have really time to, like, gel and groove.
Yeah.
And I wasn't enjoying that process until right around the end, and then it was over.
Yeah.
And I literally flew back from San Francisco on, like, we worked an all-nighter on the first flight out, came home, sat on my couch that all these movies had helped me buy this nice house and all that.
Yeah.
So I felt weird complaining.
Yeah.
But I sat on the couch and I was still so early in my career. And it was the first time I ever went, yeah, I'm fucking done. Like,
oh,
I was
wow.
just, I hadn't had the Parker Posey experience yet.
Mm.
And I hadn't felt the way I watched her feel about it every day. So I started questioning whether I was in the right business, whether I was doing the right thing, whether I was just chasing a damn ghost and you can't catch him.
Yeah.
It ain't the movies. So,
yeah.
You know, I was already thinking about leaving then and then did a bunch of movies that I hoped would be fun that would give me that feeling, like the Chatham A's. In Summer Catch. Remember that one? Boom. Never saw it, but I know the name.
It's a good one.
And but I went out there to play baseball, which I thought would be really fun. And it was, but I still didn't have the experience. And it wasn't until this tiny little movie I did called Brooklyn Rules that it was basically Terry Winters, the guy who wrote and won all those awards for Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire. It's his biography, basically, and I got to play him.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And the director was this intense New York Italian guy named Michael Carenti, and he's like, you don't fucking do this, I'm like, yeah, man, this guy is fucking crazy, but I like this motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was, like, getting hyped, and I met Jerry Ferrara, who I just fell in love with. Mina Suvari, whose like approach to acting was so different than mine.
Yeah.
And so I was just watching her a lot because she was truly like an artist there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my man Scott Kahn, who I just he's like I'm not a manly man, and Scott is. And so like we shared a trailer. This is a way indie movie. And they were like, look, you're gonna have to. I was like, I don't care. Like I love that. Like I'm a legit like fan of Scott's. Like if he needed a wingman ever, I'd be like, I'm your guy. I got you. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
I would lie in court for the dude, even if I knew he was guilty. Like he's just cool. There's just everything cool about him, right?
Yeah.
So I fell in love, and that was the first time I had that experience where I knew I was loving what I was doing.
Hmm.
And then as soon as it was over, the next movie I did, which isn't the movie's fault, and I don't remember the name, but it just couldn't hold up. It just wasn't going to hold up. It's like the first time someone does a drug, right? And they spend the rest of their drug addict life trying to find
it.
That first one, and they never do. And then eventually they go, oh, you don't catch it, and they get sober. Or the worst happens.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I was on this movie and I hated every moment of it. I got injured, a terrible back injury, and just everything was going wrong. And I came home from Toronto, landed in LA, and I told Sarah, I'm done.
Wow.
She was like, what do you mean you're done? I said, I'm done. I know I'm done. I'm done.
Mm.
And then I got hired to do 24. And I did it for that one season. And then I was like, yo, I'm definitely done. And that was when I was done.
Yeah.
And I took this huge 10-year break or however long it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've talked about burnout a lot on this podcast because we've all individually dealt with it. And man, hearing your burnout story, that is next level. That's something else.
And I burn out a lot. And it's not, and it's a lesson that I have a hard time learning. And I'm really, I'm telling you guys, I'm a good student. Like, as far as like life goes, I know I've worked a lot of it out. But for whatever reason, I go too hard, no matter what it is. And I burn it. And they warned me at WWE. Vince even brought me in his office and he said, hey, I'm war. You're doing great. All my stories were there pay-per-view. At one of these pay-per-views. And that's how good a job I was doing for him. And I was really making progress. And he brought me in his office. I'm thinking to tell me how awesome I am. And he's going to give me like a bonus of sweet cash. And, you know what I mean? Or steroids. So I'll be like super jacked, which I would do. I'm not anti-steroid at all. I don't care. I'll take all the steroids.
You should have used them before our foosball show. That would have helped you a little bit.
Oh,
you are the worst human being in Burbank.
In Burbank. Oh. It's a limited pool.
Well, Hollywood's got worse people than me.
It's okay. It wouldn't have helped you anyway.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You're really just walking them into now.
Oh, I'm going to bring you on one of our shows on a game you suck ass at, and I'm just going to annihilate you, and I'm going to sing songs about you while I do it. And it's going to feel good.
Anytime our schedules finally line up for me to do one of your video game shows, you will destroy. I mean, I'm not great at video games.
You got to get worse at comedy so you get booked less. And then once that happens, your ass is mine.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But burnout. So
burnout, yeah.
Vince brought me in, and before I went in his office, his assistant was out there. I loved his assistant, ex-Army guy named Jimmy, so cool. And he goes, hey, Freddie, you doing okay? And he's never asked me like, like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And he goes, all right, man, we just, you know, you've been going hard, man. You've been working hard. And I'm like, what's up, man? I said, I'm here to see Vince. He goes, I know, I just want to talk to you real quick. And the first thing I say is, am I getting fucking fired?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way. And he was like, what are you talking? No, Freddie. He's like, I just want to make sure you're doing okay. I was like, yeah, I'm fine, man. Can I go talk to Vince? And now I'm like, because this job was a cutthroat job. 90% of the people there hated me, did not want me there. It took until I left for them to like me. You know what I mean? And then once they liked me, I was like, aha, fuck you. I'm like, so I go in and he sits me down and he goes, how you doing, Freddie? I said, I'm good, man. What's going on? I said, Jimmy's making me feel like this is a bad meeting. And he goes, well, it's not good. And so now I'm like, if I get fired, I'm literally going to go off on this old timer, right? And I love Vince, but I was like, this is every story you have that's making your company money right now is mine.
Right.
So I was like going in there now not knowing what to do. And he said, he goes, I'm real worried about you. And I said, what? What's going on, man? I don't drink. I'm not a drug addict. What are you talking about? He goes, I've seen this a million times. He's like, you're a great young writer. He's like, but you're going to burn out. I don't want you to. I want you to stick around in the company. Mm. And my first response, mainly because I didn't have a dad, right?
Yeah.
So like if you treat me like a son, or don't call me son.
Right.
Like, if you call me son.
I don't like it.
And no, and you're an older guy, I love it. Like it literally is like all my facade of like playing it cool.
Yeah.
Is gone. Like it wrecks me. Like, look, my dad was in this game long before me. I've been in this game at from the lowest to the highest levels. I know bullshit artists when I see them. I know real people when I see them. If you call me son, it's like a jam in my radar. You know what I mean? So
disoriented.
He puts a hand out on the table like he wants to take my hand, right? But I can't do that. I'm just not comfortable with that kind of physical contact. I don't want to be hugged. If you're behind me and you see me and you know me, don't hug me. I'm going to elbow you. Like, it freaks me out. Like, come around the front and be like, Freddie. I'll be like, hey. And we'll have a quick hug, not the awkward one you gave me. And then that's it. Like, I just,
I'm not. The lady's in a coral on you. I'll just wrap around a leg.
It's going to be extra long after the show.
That's right. Chewing on some eucalyptus. It's getting high. So he goes, I really want to see you stick around. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at his hand. He had these like perfectly manicured nails. He was always like perfectly manicured nails. I hated it. I was like, that's so the opposite of what you should
wrestling.
Be.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be a tough son of a gun.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I said the same thing that you guys would say. I go, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I got it. And then 4 weeks later, I quit. I burned out.
Wow.
Like he saw it coming a mile away. He's seen it a million times.
And at that time, you didn't see it coming. Like you would have had no idea that within 4 weeks you would have been done.
No, and even if I did, I would have lied.
Yeah.
And said, no, I'm fine. I can push through it. I can do anything. And time and time again, I realized that I can't do everything.
What is that about burnout? That it's like, you're talking about like that you're a good student. We feel the same way. I mean, the basis of our podcast is we're like type A comedians.
Everyone has that one thing though. Yeah. It's like a hill that, you know the story of Sisyphus? He was like cursed to roll the boulder up the hill only to have it roll all the way back down.
Yeah.
Like that's how I deal with burnout. I'm like, this time I got it. And my friends, my wife,
I'm ready.
Like, they'll be like, Freddie, every time you tried to push this boulder up this hill, it's rolled down. And not because you're weak, because a God who you know, because you were there, cursed you and told you that even though you know it's going to happen, you have to do it. And you're denying all these facts and looking me dead in the face and saying, this time you got it. Oh, and I'll look him dead in the face and be like, yes.
Yeah.
And then fail and pretend it didn't happen and go back to him and be like, guys, I figured it out. This time, I got it.
Yeah.
And all my friends will be like, all right, bro, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Like,
we think we learned the lesson, but we never do.
Yeah.
And then we think, oh, we'll prevent it next time. And then we don't end up preventing it. We just get wrapped up in the same stuff.
We are. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing that's changed on Earth is the technology that we've created, right? But the human beings are human. We're the same. Like, I think it was Colin Quinn, the old school stand-up comic and former writer on SNL.
Colin,
he said, you know, we're still doing the same things we did when we were cavemen. It's just there's laws that exist now to prevent people from doing that. You know what I mean? Like, we don't kill people because there's a law that says you can't kill someone. Now, there are a few of us that have a morality that we've learned that says, oh, thou shalt not kill. But I've been on the freeway a million times, and I've been cut off. And if there wasn't a law that said you can't kill this person, I'd literally be like, I'm doing their family a favor. Peace. My car's bigger. Like, and that would be a wrap. But I don't, because there's moral people who created laws. Right. But that's only 5% of humanity. The rest of us are a bunch of animals, and our morality switches from one stressful situation to another. And if there's alcohol involved, the morality changes again.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling cocky, the morality changes again, because none of us are these perfect angelic God creatures. We're just people, man. And we're not that special. Like, another comic, Richard Jenny, the average person is, well, average.
Yeah.
And most of us are that. You know what I mean? In some degree or another, I promise you I'm below average when it comes to dealing with burnout. But there's a lot of shit that I'm just average at. Yeah. I found one thing that I was good at, or one of a few things that I'm good at, and found a way to make money doing it.
Yeah.
But if you get me on the football field, I'm going to be pretty average.
Yeah.
You want me to paint a painting? It's going to be average.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. So, you know, that's kind of, I don't know how, like, the point of this was, how do you deal with burnout? I don't know. I just know I failed at it a bunch.
Mm.
And I try to be aware of it. And even in trying that, it doesn't slow it down every time.
Yeah. I have a question. So, you know, it's probably very, like, you probably don't go to a lot of places where people don't know who you are, I'd imagine, right?
Depends.
And so being a celebrity, I'm just so curious, like, the highs and lows of that. And, like, you know, being, like, when you walk in a room, people are like, oh, my gosh, I know who that is. Like, what is that like for you? And when did that first happen? And how did that feel?
That doesn't happen so much anymore. Yeah. I just want to be clear with that. But, like, there's three personality types, according to Sigmund Freud, right? The alpha, the beta, and the omega. And the best way to figure out what you are, what someone is through compliment or criticism, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. You compliment Kobe Bryant, right? You say, hey, you're the best. He's like, yeah, I know. Or, oh, thanks. But you're not making him feel good. He's already decided how he feels. Kobe, you'll never be Jordan. Yeah, okay. You didn't hurt his feelings. He already decided how he felt. The beta personality is much more in the artist realm, much more in the comedy realm.
As if like, oh,
we're very
yep,
susceptible to, like Sally Field's famous speech when she went, you like me. You really yeah. like me. It's like, yo, you just figured out you're good? Like, yeah. are you crazy?
Right.
But artists respond most to that. And that's why you see, like, I don't believe in mean tweets. I just believe in tweets, right? It's how you interpret that information based on how your brain interprets stuff, yeah. right? So a lot of beta personalities see that as like insults. They take it to heart. You're the worst. I am. I'm the worst. Yeah. You're the best. I'm the fucking best. Yeah. And you see a lot of actors and musicians get mad cocky like that, right?
Yeah.
And then the third is the omega personality, which thinks about motivation. So if you were an omega and I'm like, yeah. Kelsey, I think you are so incredibly talented. And the yeah. work that you did last night on stage blew me away. In your head, all you're saying is, what does this guy want from me right now?
Mm. Oh.
So and that's like the paranoid. Omega personality. It's not paranoid. It's what do they want?
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you suck. It's like, I wonder what's going on with them that they would say that.
Oh, okay.
And if they're like, I love you, it's like they want something. I don't know what it is, but I know they want something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those are the three main sort of personality types. And I was fortunate enough, and I think it was because of how I was conditioned. And Freud would say you're all three, but there's a dominant one. And yeah. I would agree with that. But I'm definitely like the omega personality. So walking in a room and seeing eyes on me, I already know why they're looking. It's because it's LA and everybody wants to know if somebody famous walked in, right?
Right.
But like my wife says to me all the time, she's legit. She goes, you don't fucking care about anything. And I just don't. Like I don't care. That sounds horrible.
I don't care.
So yeah. it's like if someone's like, oh my God, I love you. I'm like, all right, that's great. Let's keep it under control. I'm not a hugger. I know you are. I know, but you're rejecting everything I'm saying right now. And if you're like, Freddie, you suck. I'm like, right on, bro. Your girl likes me. Talk to her. Yeah. Your mom and your girl both wish you were more like me. So, like, and I can talk some shit. I grew up in boxing gyms and martial arts clubs where people are just talking trash. And I like trash. I like what you'll see me on Twitter if anyone follows me. People talk trash to me, and I favorite it. You know what I mean? Like, if you have good game, if your game's weak, I don't write anything back.
Right.
But every once in a while, a guy will write something. I'm like, dude, that's pretty slick. I'm gonna kill you right now. But I still give them a heart on it. That's the favorite thing, so they know like it's all love. But I go in. They gotta know where they're at on the shit talk scale. I was very kind to you, by the way. Incredibly kind. Mm-hmm. All I did was go in on the show. Mm-hmm. Never went in on you. I guarantee you, if I ever do the show again, win, lose, or draw, we're going to know who won the shit talking battle.
Why did you hold back? I wish you hadn't.
I'm a dad. I have a daughter.
Oh.
I have a soft spot for stand-up comics because of my old man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm nice to y'all. You should see how nice I am to Josh. Like, it blows Josh away. He's like, it's only because you don't have brothers or sisters. I'm like, dude, I'm a dick to all my friends except you. I have a soft spot.
Can't be mean to Josh. Mm-hmm.
No, you guys are very sensitive creatures.
That's true.
And you need to be built up, not broken down, because comics break themselves down just fine.
That's true. I don't need help from anybody doing
so it. So I believe in putting building blocks, not jackhammers, to your psyches.
That's, you did say fuck you to my face, which is like the best.
Did I ask permission first?
Yeah, but not for me, for like the show. You're like, can I cuss on this show?
Okay, yeah, that's true.
That wasn't like, may I hurt your feelings, which wasn't hurting my feelings. It was the best.
It was partially, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I bet I felt bad on the way home.
Oh, for saying fuck you to me?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, man. That's, you know, it's not.
It made me smile so hard.
It's hard.
You didn't make me feel bad at all.
You're going in knowing you're going to lose. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's hard to get that mad. So I think I feel like I just had to get one in so it felt.
That's fair.
It felt real.
It's fair. Oh, yeah. Your shit talking was tame. People have come in and been.
It was. I thought I was. I thought I was leashed quite nicely.
Yeah. You're very respectful.
Yeah.
You took your mayo sandwich loss.
Oh.
As well.
You know what was almost worse was that hard rock bread.
I know.
You made it so, it's like I had to earn my humiliation. I had to earn it. Like soft bread, you just get it over with.
Broken
but Kelsey, she's like, no, I have a different kind of show. You're going to, what I want you to be covered in shit. Oh, that's a terrible humiliation. But wait, it gets worse. We're going to hide that shit behind this concrete wall, and you have to hammer your way through the wall. And you're going to be tired because no one's going to help you, and you don't get a jackhammer. You're going to be John Henry and no steam drill. And at the end of that, John Henry dies, by the way. And then after you break through this wall, it'll take you about 3 hours, and you're going to have a bad back the next day. Then, and only then, will you be covered in shit. And that's what your show is.
A really good analogy.
Yeah. You should let me pitch this, your show to a network. Because
you know money. What you're doing. So funny. Fuck. Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
By the way, if you guys have not watched that episode of Rosa Fury yet, it's on YouTube.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
It's a good time.
Other questions?
Yeah, so we talked, what time is it? Okay, we got like 5 more minutes. So we talked a little bit on Rissa Fury about your marriage to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
And that it's 18 years long. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Around. Once we've been together longer than married. So okay. We've been together over 20 years.
20 years. Wow. That's amazing. So you talked a little bit about kind of like how you approach a marriage in this, especially like in this industry. But can you share a little bit on for our podcast listeners, like what you feel like you're trick to successes for
sure, but I'll preface
marriage.
It with this. What works for me probably gonna break a lot of y'all up. So
oh, interesting.
Like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's weird giving marriage advice. My wife and I just did this like a campaign for Cascade and saving water, right?
Yeah.
And it was do it every night. That was like the theme.
Yeah.
And so every press interview we did, they were like, what's the secret? Like what's the secret?
Okay.
To the great marriage and doing it every night. I'm like, y'all think I get it every night? Like, are you crazy? We got 2 kids. Like, that just doesn't happen. There's nights where we even both want to, and we're like, yeah, but it ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They want to sleep in our bed tonight.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And you talk it out. We'll like debate. Like, we go in the closet. Yeah, but if they wake up and it has to be a horrible thing to see. Or what about the shower? Yeah, there's no cleanup. Like, we literally go through all these steps.
But you guys still have, like, sexual passion for each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
We would be broken up. Straight up. Like, if that kind of stuff changed, we would split up. That stuff needs to maintain until the parts don't work.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy on that. So
some medication's involved.
Yeah. So, and then it is what it is. But for Sarah and I, there's a huge level of respect, first of all, because we both knew what this business was about when we got involved with each other. She knew what kind of guy I was. I never hit on her when we worked together. I'm just not that kind of dude. Like, you ain't never gonna hear about me in any of those cases because I have more friends that are girls than are boys. And the reason they're my friend is because they know that shit can't happen.
Right.
And I look out for them like a brother or in some cases, a dad.
right.
So I'm telling you, I got more friends that are pro wrestlers that are girls than boys. And I got a lot of friends that are boy pro wrestlers.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in charge of their division when I worked there. So there was a trust that's built up. And through that trust is when a friendship happens, right?
Right.
So Sarah and I were already friends before there was Smooch One. Like we were bros, and we went out to dinner on our first date as bros. We just got stood up by our publicist who was afraid of flying, and like near the end of dinner after a little sake, I was like, "Yo, Sarah, be looking good." And I just never looked at her like that. Yeah. And she said, "Hey, do you want to take a walk afterwards?" And we just had this like nice sushi dinner, and I was like, "Yeah, definitely do." And we were both walking, and you could feel the energy between us. Like, we both knew that things had changed, and neither of us spoke for, like, a full minute. And we're down in Malibu, and we're walking on the cliff. So, for sure, a kiss is happening. Like, it's not like we walked a parking lot at Nobu, right? This is the old one in Malibu, not the new one. And so we're walking, and I shit you not, like, we stop, and we have this smooch. And the moon is out. And there's like no clouds in the sky. I'm telling you, this is all, this is 100% true.
So romantic.
I swear to God. And we stop kissing, and there's rabbits all around us.
What?
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I swear to God, there's fucking like little bunny rabbits all around us. And I literally was like, yo, is that a
fucking Snow White?
I thought it was a rat. I thought it was a rat. And so I go, what is that? And Sarah goes, is that a rabbit? And I was like, is that rabbits? And there were like 30 of them. And they just hopped right by. And I was like, yo, that was such a trip. And then we walked back to, I had this old Dodge Ram pickup truck. We walked back to my truck. It's so big, she couldn't even get in the fucking thing.
Yeah.
I had to help her into the truck. And then I drove her home and gave her a kiss goodnight. And that was the last girl that I kissed, except my camera.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's so sweet. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I don't know what makes a good marriage. I really don't. I can tell you, like, she makes me laugh.
Yeah.
She talks good trash, man. She's got good.
Atta girl.
I love a good, like I said earlier, I love when people can talk shit. And she's a New York Jew, so she can talk some shit. So that still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
She doesn't get mad when I make fun of, like, the pants that are cool, like that J-Lo wears, and she'll have to, and I'm like, what's up, Annie Oakley? And she'll be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know I mean? But yeah. She doesn't get too mad at me. I'm like, those are some sweet MC Hammer pants, man. Can I touch it?
Yeah.
And she doesn't give me a hard time about it. And then she talks shit about how I dress because I don't own anything that's not a t-shirt. And most of them have, like, I went out for my birthday dinner, and I had this red t-shirt on, these cool black pants that she got me. So I knew she'd like those.
Yeah.
And had my red and black Jordans on. And I said, the red t-shirt and this and a black jacket over it. And so I was like, I'm looking sharp. And, but what she didn't know is on the chest, I had a Super Mario from Mario Brothers like on the 12. Chest. Right? So I had it covered with the jacket. And I was like, yo, I'm so slick. And I'm going to pull it out at dinner. And she's going to get so mad. And it'll make me laugh, right? I've done it to her a million times. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but check out the shirt. And she's like, oh, God, we're in a nice restaurant. So I got my game tight. We walk out to the car. And I didn't tuck my shirt in. And I never looked at the back of the shirt. And on the back of the shirt, it just has this like huge, obnoxious Super Mario head. And on the very bottom of the shirt, it says Mario Bros. On the bottom. And the shirt was hanging out. So we go out and Sarah goes, oh, hell no. And I go, what? And she goes, Super Mario Brothers? And I legit check my, I'm like, what? How did you see that? And she was like, look at the back of your shirt. And I turn it, and it's so obnoxious. I was like, yo, hold on, let me go change.
Oh, my God.
So I only put on a regular t-shirt, but I almost had
you
her.
You really wanted to have the mark.
Oh, yeah, I almost had her. Almost had her. But, yeah, as far as, like, make your partners laugh.
Yeah.
Don't be passive-aggressive. Don't sit on shit. Don't wait. Say it. Yeah. Say if it's a you issue, say it. Meaning if you're having an issue with something that I'm doing, say it and say it when you feel it.
Yeah.
If I'm having an issue and I clearly don't want to talk about it, don't force it. Or it's not going to come out the way I want and it's not going to come out the way you want. Mm. Don't force things. Like, just because they're yours don't mean they're yours. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your toy, right? You can push the button and make the toy say what it's supposed to say. But people aren't like that. And if you push them, they're going to push back. And it doesn't feel good. So that's something that we learned that I think we're very, very good at. Keep having sex with the people you love. Keep doing that. Don't get lazy.
Yeah, get too comfortable.
Yeah, because then it's like, I'm telling you, people's minds wandered. As a successfully married person and been with Sarah for 20 years, I can't count how many times people have been like, yeah, but would you be down to do this? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And the reason I can say no is because things are good at home.
Yeah.
If they're not good at home, I've had people who I love and men who I respect not only think about it, but act on
it.
Yeah. And these are men I respect. They made a bad choice that I don't respect.
Right.
But and women too, that who I know and love and respect dearly. And I'm like,
right.
You're going, you don't want to do that. Like, yeah, you gotta maintain that life forever.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to do anything forever? Like that, you know, so it's, you know, I don't recommend that, but I know it happens. And
yeah.
So like I said, what works for me may break someone else up, but we're very honest. We're very straightforward.
Yeah.
I encourage Sarah to tell me shit when it happens. She's not perfect at it, but I ain't perfect at what I'm supposed to bring to the relationship.
Right, right.
And there's just patience and tolerance in that.
Yeah.
They would ask crazy questions like, do you guys get mad at each other when the person whose turn it is to do the chores doesn't do them? Like, we don't have a turn.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a dirty dish, I wash it. If I'm too tired and it's bugging her, she washes it, and she doesn't say shit to me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If I work a 12-hour day, or Sarah works a 12-hour day on set, right? I remember this when she was doing Buffy all the time. And she worked nights. And she'd get home at, 6 o'clock in the morning, eat like a light little breakfast, and go to sleep, right? And she, poor thing, would only get like 4 or 5 hours sleep. Because once the day's up, she's up, right? Yeah. She don't fight vampires in real life.
Yeah.
She's a human, a mortal, like the rest of us. Yeah. And she would always leave that breakfast in the sink, right?
Yeah.
Not once was I swear to God, not once was like, that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Right. She don't leave the, no.
She, yeah.
On the other, I was like, yo, let me watch this, man. This girl worked 12 hours and I was watching Dragon Ball Z and playing Xbox. You know what I'm saying? So, and vice versa, man. Like, if there's a bull there and it bothers her, she cleans it up and she doesn't give me shit. She knows that I'm a responsible guy. She knows I'm not a piece of trash.
Yeah.
So we work easily like that because there is no competition. There's none of, every question we got asked, I'm telling you, well, who's better at this? Who's better at that? I'm like, I'm a better cook.
Yeah.
That's not a contest. Sarah's cooked me one meal in 20 years. Who do you think the better cook?
Yeah.
Me. And you know why? Because I like doing it. And she doesn't. You know what she likes doing? Making sure your boy doesn't go broke. And she took care of all my finances because I'm shit at that for 20 years.
So
it's not a, I'm like, oh, well, this time I'm doing what, well, I'm picking what we invest in. No.
Yeah.
I don't have experience in that. My mom was a chef, not a stockbroker.
Yeah.
I can cook my ass off. So she eats like a queen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like there is no, if you're in a contest relationship, unless you're like playing fucking foosball or phase 10 or, you know what I mean, or gin or something like that, then you better whip their ass. Like, don't let my kids beat me in shit. I beat my son 8-1 in Super Smash Brothers yesterday. And the only time he won, he legit earned it.
Yeah.
And he was hyped when he was mad as hell until then. But you know what I mean? Like, you play to win. But in a relationship, if you're in a competition, I'm assuming your days are numbered. Because Michael Jordan didn't want to marry any of the Pistons. You know what I mean? They were dicks. Eventually, you're like, man, this guy's a dick. He ain't making me better. He's just hitting me.
Yeah,
so, you know,
you
stayed married to Scottie Pippen, and that was the better relationship.
You know?
So, so don't give each other too much shit.
Yeah. I like that. That was actually great advice. I mean, that was really great advice.
Like I said, it's probably going to break someone up.
No, but say what's on your mind. You kind of utilize each other's skills. Like, you like cooking, she doesn't, so you do it. She does the finances because she's better if she likes it.
And by the way, there's times I cook and clean, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
I love that.
Sometimes I do that, and you know why? Yeah. And when I do that, if I go upstairs and play video games, guess who doesn't give me shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't all have to do everything 50-50 down the middle on every little thing.
That's
just so exhausting.
And y'all don't have to be in each other's shit. Like, I don't watch reality TV. My wife, and I know there's a lot of people out there that do this, boy and girl, and you make your partner watch something that they hate because you like it.
Right.
And you want them to be a part of it so that you can talk to them about something they don't even want to talk about.
Right.
You know who's never done that to me? My wife.
Yeah.
You know why I've never been like, hey, babe, come watch me play this video game. Look how, no, babe, look how great the graphics are. They're next gen. Like, I would never, she could give two shits about Lara Croft and what tune she's rating. Like, she doesn't care. She doesn't care.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, take that with you for what it's worth, and hopefully it helps somebody out.
You've been the best
guest.
That's
great.
Thank you for everything. Can you plug everything, your podcast, plug where people can find you?
I do a really funny podcast with comedian Josh Wolf. If you guys don't know who he is, he used to do Chelsea Show all the time. He does David Spade Show all the time now. He's super funny.
Yeah.
He's a dad of three. He's a total stoner. He is the sweetest, dumbest / smartest dude I know when it comes to a lot of parenting stuff and things like that. And I love doing that podcast with him. It's called Prinz and the Wolf. You guys can find it on iTunes, or you can see him video, like you can see him here on Gegghead, which is G-E-G-G-H-E-A-D. It's just egghead with a G at the beginning. And that's on YouTube. And we do a ton of, I'm still a big nerd at heart. We play a ton of Dungeons and Dragons. And we shoot all this kind of stuff, kind of like Critical Role does on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Only we do everything live on Twitch. So you can find us there, too. It's just twitch.tv/gaghead or YouTube. com/Keghead, and we play tons of different games. We'll bring you on one time, and one that I know you suck ass at, and we'll kill you. And that will be my sweet, sweet revenge. And the promo I cut on you will be the humiliation that you have to take.
Oh God, I'd love I'll do an old '80s wrestling promo on you.
Yeah, that should be your humiliation.
Please make her play that.
You don't even get to play. You have to watch.
Oh, please make her do that.
That would be horrible.
That would be the worst.
In like a folding chair that sucks with no cushion, no water, and no bathroom breaks. It's going to turn into a Japanese game show where you're on a block of ice. How long till Kelsey pees?
Becoming a prisoner of war
next
situation.
Next on Naruto's castle.
Oh, well, you're the best. Thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you so
much.
Y'all
both.
Awesome. We'll do our respectful coronavirus bow.
Yes, absolutely.
See, I'm telling you, the bow is coming back.
All right. We will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content, ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at KelseyCook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at KelseyCookComedy. Twitter is at KelseyCook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.